Let's pray, shall we? Father, I thank you so much for this morning. Thank you for the ability to gather together. Thank you for the ability to assemble together. Thank you for the many churches that are meeting across our nation this morning and proclaiming your goodness in your name. So we thank you for that, Father. Thank you for our worship. Thank you that we've been able to get together to worship. And thank you for Michelle's communion, a reminder of the cross and the finished work of Jesus Christ. But thank you, it's now time to gather around your word, focus on your incorruptible seed, on the scriptures. Thank you for these seeds. Thank you that they are perfect, ready to be sown into our lives. So I speak our understanding in the mighty name of Jesus, understanding so that your seeds are not stolen, understanding so that they will germinate and grow and produce the fruit that we all desire. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. That's better. Hallelujah. That's better. Okay. Where are we today? This is the third and final message in my We series. We series about our thought life, about, what can I say, promoting positive mental health. I've kind of been given some testimonies and some of my experiences over the last couple of months, and just relating them to biblical principles, promoting positive mental health. I have to say I've been really blessed preparing these messages. I'm always blessed when I'm in the Word and preparing messages, but these last two and then this one, really especially blessed. Because you know something, the Lord puts on your heart to study what you really need. And he's really been speaking to me the last few weeks. And I've been really blessed on it. I'm thinking, I'm meditating about keeping my mind stayed upon him. What am I focusing on? It's good to focus on what you're focusing on. It's good to think about what you're thinking about. It's good for your mental health. Hope you feel the same way. Hope it's been useful. And I want to talk today on a sort of similar thing, on a way that I've noticed has helped my mental health, helped my thought life, helped my attitude. A way from my own experience, or a way from my own experience, but a way that I think is biblical as well. So this mini-series has been based on Isaiah 26:3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. It was, remember I told you, like 2 weeks ago I preached on that, and then during the week I had a bit of a wobbly, and my friend reminded me on Friday, oh, you know, Vic, there is a verse in the Bible that says if you keep your mind stayed on him, you'll have perfect peace. Do you know that verse, Vic? I preached on it on Sunday, but I'd forgotten about it by Wednesday. Thursday. So we need to keep reminding ourselves about these things. If we want to keep peace, if we want to live in peace, we need to keep our mind stayed on him. And I said the opposite was true as well. If we are not in peace, then it is obvious, it is logical that your mind is stayed on someone, something, or somewhere else other than the Lord. It's got to be, if we believe what Isaiah 26:3 says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. So if we're not in peace, our mind's not stayed on him. Our mind is stayed on something else. Someone, somewhere, something. And in my first message, I spoke briefly, very briefly, and I'm going to kind of elaborate on that today, about a surefire method for making our mental health worse. So if you want to make your mental health worse, listen to this. If you want to make it better, listen to this, but, you know, but do the opposite. We can go down the road of bad thoughts, poor mental health, not being in peace, when our mind is focused on ourselves, on self. That's a killer. Because thinking about yourself is thinking carnally. And what does thinking carnally lead to? Death. Thinking about others, thinking about the Lord, having our mind stayed on the Lord is thinking spiritually. What does that lead to? Life and peace. Thank you. Nunzi and Sean have been listening. Amen. Oh, sorry, Carl. Sorry, Carl. I didn't hear your answer. Okay. Carl's been listening as well, folks. I know Carl's been listening. I know Carl's been listening because I was speaking to Nikki yesterday and she's all, Carl's speaking about that all the time. So that's okay. Not good when we keep our mind focused on self. Any questions like, what is my purpose? What is my worth? How good am I? Is going to send us down the road of condemnation and guilt and lack of peace. And that overarching question that many of us ask, have asked, are asking, will ask, what is the point? Is not good for us. Now you may say, well, I thought looking for purpose and worth, for example, would be quite good. And I would agree if we're looking in the right place. And looking into self is not the right way, not the right place. The right place is in the finished work of Jesus Christ. And in God the Father, or things of the Lord. What purpose do you have for me, Lord? Remember these four questions I said, these are the ones we should be asking. What purpose do you have for me, Lord? What is my true identity in Christ? What can I have through Christ? What can I do through Christ? Now, in this context, if we're thinking about these four questions, we can answer that question, what's the point? If we have those four questions kind of overriding and behind it, do you understand what I'm saying? In the context of, what's your purpose for me, Lord? What's my identity in Christ? What can I do through Christ? What do I have in Christ? If we answer the question, what is the point, using those four questions, it's going to be a good answer. It's going to be a spiritual answer. What's the point in me? What's the point in life? What's the point in me being on this earth? As long as we remember those four questions as we're trying to answer it. I'm going to try and scratch the surface and answer that question this morning. And you should know what I'm going to tell you now. I've told you often enough. God has a plan and a purpose for everyone. Jeremiah 1 verse 5. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. This is the book of the prophet Jeremiah, but this could be the book of Pauline. The book of Lyra. The book of Michelle. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou comest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Okay, you might not be a prophet, Pauline. But he ordained you to be a fantastic, was it sculptor, sculptress, sculptor? What is it, somebody that makes sculptures? A sculptor. I should have thought that through before I used that example, actually. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou comest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee for something. Isaiah 49, someone very similar. Isaiah 49, let's do 1 to 3. Listen, O isles, unto me, and hearken, ye people from afar. The Lord hath called me from the womb. From the bowels of my mother hath he made mention of my name. And he hath made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand hath he hid me, and made me a polished shaft. In his quiver hath he hid me, and said unto me, Thou art my servant, O Israel, in whom I will be glorified. That could be the book. That is Isaiah. But that could be Pauline, Lyra, or Michelle. Because Acts 10:34, what does Acts 10:34 tell us? Then Peter opened his mouth and saith, Of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. Now we know that means he doesn't not respect us. But what was good enough for Jeremiah and good enough for Isaiah is good enough for me and good enough for you. If God had a plan and a purpose for Jeremiah and for Isaiah, he's got one for every single one of us. Because he's no respecter of persons. It's like Andrew Womack says, he's got a long mantelpiece, the Lord. Because he's got a picture of every one of us on his mantelpiece. Mine's obviously right in the centre. But and yours might be further apart. But we're all on there. Because he's no respecter of persons. God had a plan and a purpose in Jeremiah and Isaiah. God is no respecter of persons. What he did for them, he does for us. He knew us before creation. He formed us in our mother's belly. He called us from the womb for a specific purpose. Now we look in the Word for our communal purpose. We've all got the same purpose. And then we look to the Holy Spirit through prayer to get our individual purpose. How does our individual purpose fit into our communal purpose? Now, what I want to mention today briefly is something that covers both our communal and specific purpose. I'm going to try and bring them together to answer this one question. Remember, with the other four questions behind it, what is the point? That's what I want to answer today. What is the point? Because recently I've been asking myself that. And not in the healthy way. Not in the, with the four questions behind it. What is the point? Now, if we answer that in a selfish, self way, it's going to lead to problems. But if we look at it with those four questions behind, my identity in Christ, what can I get through Christ, who am I in Christ? What was the first one? Anyway, those four questions, we get a good answer. Going to bring them together. Now, if I ask this question of you guys, you're all great believers, Bible-reading, Holy Spirit-filled, New Covenant believers. If I was to say to you, what is the point? I would get lots of answers. To become more Christ-like. To do the will of God. To love my neighbour. To worship the Father. To do the works of Jesus. And these are all good questions, and they all resonate with me when I think, trying to answer this question, what is the point? Now, when I read my Bible, we are meant to love God and love others, yes? I read that we are to be selfless, not selfish, and think of others above ourselves, yes? Put others ahead of ourselves, yes? I read my Bible about Jesus laying his life down for others, talks about it. Greatest love is laying your life down for your friends. I read my Bible about giving into all good works. I read my Bible that compassion is a virtue and something that we can really learn from Jesus. I read in my Bible that we are to be salt. I read in my Bible that we are to be light. I read in my Bible about feeding the widows, feeding the orphans, visiting the prisoners, helping the stranger, and not walking on the other side of the road. I read all those things in my Word. I remember the first time we went to India, we met Sundar and Santi. The language was really difficult. It was like 2 or 3 days before we realised the orphanage was his house. And it was tiny and it was dilapidated and it was fandoon and all this. And I said to him, Sundar, why do you do this? And I'll never forget it. He looked at me and he said, well, Pastor, it tells me to do this in the Bible. Do you not do that? Now, I didn't want to go down the road of, well, you know, I'm not allowed to just open my house and take orphans in and things like that. But I felt like doing it as an excuse. I mean, it got me just right there. It says it in the Bible, Pastor, do you not do that? Now, it's in the Word. It's good enough for him. So I see all these things in the Word. All these things that come round to answering this question, what's the point? They're all reasons for living, all those things that I mentioned there. But I think the answer, the one answer that sums it up for me, that's really been helping me the last few weeks, here is what I think the point is. What's the point? What is the purpose in our lives? It is to make a difference. That's all summed up by all those things that I read, you know, that comes out of the Bible. What is the point of life? What is the point in me? What is the point in us? What is the point in you? You know, taking up space on this earth, using up the valuable finite resources of this world, using up oxygen. You know, what's the point? It is to make a difference. It is about making the lives of others better. It is about making the world a better place. Oh, it's too big. No, no, just listen to me. Every single one of us can make the world a better place. It is about leaving this world in a better state than when we came in. That is the point. That is the point of our lives. Now you could say, well, it's to be more Christ-like. If you're more Christ-like, you will make a difference. If you want to be like Jesus and feed the widows and you want to have compassion and you want, see you soon, Pauline, and you want to do all those other things that I said in that list, you will make a difference by doing that. That, to me, is a life well lived. Making a difference. That's the point. I mentioned in an online communion recently, some of you will have heard about this, others won't, about this wonderful Jewish concept called Tikkun Olam. Who's heard of Tikkun Olam? Right. Tikkun Olam. It was spoken of in a Christian business seminar that I was listening to. And you know when someone just lights your candle, floats your boat, rocks your socks, whatever you want to say. Rocks your socks, that's not a right one, is it? It's a new one, Sean, it's a new one. Man, it caught my attention. It's a wonderful Jewish concept. And the teacher was speaking about this in a business setting. Using this mindset, this concept of Tikkun Olam in a business arena. And he said it was the Jewish mindset, and I love this, that saw making wealth as a virtue. Now, I know some people are not going to like that off the bat. Making money is good. I've stood up before in front of you and said, I want to make loads and loads of money. I want to be rich. But hopefully most of you know my heart behind that. And it's not to get a bigger telly. He said he saw this Jewish mindset as this making wealth was a virtue, with the wealth created being used for good as part of this Tikkun Olam concept. So I started thinking about this, didn't get very far. Wikipedia wasn't great, so I thought I need some help. So I phoned a Jewish rabbi friend. Obviously he's Jewish, I should have just said a rabbi friend, shouldn't I? Didn't need that addition on that description, did I? So I phoned a rabbi friend and asked him about it. And it is the most wonderful, amazing concept. And fits right in with my understanding in New Covenant Scripture. Fits right in with the Gospels. It is a wonderful example of us being able to take, you know what I'm going to say, is our tradition. Jewish traditions, I think, are our tradition as well, and with a Christian mindset, you know. And I just love this amazing Jewish tradition, this wonderful concept that fits right in with New Covenant Scripture. It literally means repair or restoration of the world. That's what Tikkun Olam means. The repair or restoration of the world. It is about behaving ethically and beneficially, acting constructively to improve the earth and improve the lives of others. It's about welfare. It's about social justice. But the way he described it, the way it's described in the Torah, is it's about establishing God's qualities throughout the earth. That's good, isn't it? Establishing God's qualities. God wants to feed the widows, feed the poor. God wants to have compassion on our neighbour. God wants us to love our neighbour. God wants us to improve the lives of others. That's establishing God's qualities on the earth. Guys, it is about making a difference. That's what Tikkun Olam is all about. It's about making a difference. My friend spoke of using money and time to improve the lives of others, of giving without an expectation of getting anything back. He spoke about the idea of recirculation of money. I love that. I'm really excited about that. Using money to create more wealth, to create more money that you can then to use to create more wealth and more money. for the purpose of establishing God's qualities on this earth. That's what our money's for, by the way. For establishing God's qualities on the earth. Because it's not our money. Sorry, I'm going to go off on one here. It's not our money, Bible students. Whose money is it? Who does it belong to? God. And what are we? Stewards. Well done. Not stewards. We've got a few stewards here. Stewards. Yeah, he spoke about this idea of recirculation of money, of establishing God's quality in this earth. And this concept just exploded on the inside of me. And every time I think about it, every time I focus on it, it just fills me with peace and joy and my emotions lift and I feel happy. Why? Because that concept, if you're in that concept of tikkun olam, you've got your mind stayed on God. And that's where peace comes from. It makes me feel like there is point. There is a point to this life. Tikkun olam. There's a plan and a purpose. I have worth. I have something to do. It's to make a difference to the lives of others. And that will fill you with joy. I can only be good for creating positive mental health. That's why it kind of fits in the last two messages. To have meaning, to have purpose, to have worth, amen. That's good for your noodle. And this is especially exciting me in the area of giving at the moment. Now, tikkun olam, it is so much more than money. But I understand it best at the moment. Where my head is at the moment, it's about money. 2 Corinthians 9, you'll all know that. Use it a lot for when I'm doing the offerings. And verse 7. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown. It's tikkun olam. Sowing money to create more money so that you can sow it again and use it again for the purposes of establishing God's quality on this earth. That's tikkun olam. That's New Covenant Scripture. Jewish tradition and principle in New Covenant Scripture. It's for us, guys. It's not just for the Jewish nation. It's for us as well. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. Awesome. Talks about having all sufficiency, abounding unto all good works. This is to give and to give financially into good works again and again and again. And we know there are so many good works out there that needs our money. We need money to run ministries. We need money to run churches. We need money to feed the orphans and the widows. We need money to build feeding stations. You know, that wasn't built on thin air. You built that. You built that by stewarding God's money wisely. That's tikkun olam. Now, most of you haven't been there, but what a difference you guys are making to the lives of the people in Karamuru. Tikkun olam. It's awesome. And my rabbi friend, he knows about our work in India. I spoke to him when I met him in London recently. And what he said fascinated me. He heard about this work in India and he looked me in the eye and he said, I am jealous of you. Huh? He said, I am jealous of you and your church and your friends. He says, because in a Jewish mindset, feeding the orphans and the widows is the highest level of tikkun olam. And that just put all the work we're doing in Karamuru in a new light. I just thought, yes. You know, my kind of chest kind of puffed up. Maybe in a good way. Proud of you guys doing the work. Guys, we should be proud of what we're doing in India. We should be proud of what we've done. Not many fellowships our size could have built that feeding station. That was built out of your love and generosity. Love and generosity, as Sundar keeps saying. Amen with shouting. Amen. Amen with shouting. Feeding the orphans and the widows in India, there's no gain for us. There's no gain. Well, no, in terms of tikkun olam, we don't gain out of it. There's no return out of it in the concept of tikkun olam. And it's the highest form of tikkun olam. It's awesome. And that excited me. See our work in a new way. Through the feeding program, we are showing the love of Jesus. We're shining the light. We're making a difference. We're preaching the gospel, helping provide the church there. The money's used for that as well. We are establishing God's qualities in that village. I'd say, yeah, and we should all be rightly proud of it. And you may be thinking, what can I do? I'm not Bill Gates. You know, Bill Gates has poured billions into whatever projects, whether you like him or not, or whether you believe he's up to something or not, it doesn't matter. But, you know, I'm not Bill Gates. I haven't got billions and millions of dollars. But we can start small. We can start small. Indeed, we should always start small in everything, shouldn't we? First the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. We're doing a great work in Karamuru at the feeding station. But I've come up with this other idea, a bit different, in my quest for tikkun olam. And I want to show you what can be done with limited resources. I want to encourage you. Now, this is not Vic blowing his trumpet, okay? Hear my heart behind this. But I want to tell you what we're doing extra in India as part of this tikkun olam to show you what can be done with limited resources. You guys know I run my own business. In fact, I've spoken to a few of you about how to run businesses. And you know, myself and Carl have spoken about rates to charge, and myself and Pauline have spoken about income streams and all this. And you know, most of you know, I'm a great believer in income streams. Different areas generating wealth. Some of them larger, some of them smaller. Maybe not a lot in each income stream, but when they add up, you know, streams become rivers, don't they? So they can become larger. And I'm a great believer, a real principle I believe in is generating wealth through income streams. I'm always about starting income streams. Very interested in doing it in my own life. But I now see this in the concept of tikkun olam for India. And the idea of wealth creation and wealth recirculation. And I've always been attracted to this principle of microloans. Small loans to start new businesses. Small loans to do things in third world countries. And myself and Nunzi were really excited by that. And we've partnered with someone in India to do small businesses. Whereby you give a small business or a person some money. They start a small business. They generate income. They pay back the loan. You then use that loan again to start another business. Recirculation of wealth. Process of giving money, creating wealth, taking that money back, that loan, while the family are using the extra money to live off, and then use that money again to start another business. Now you might think, I can't do that. I'm not Bill Gates. I just don't know how to do it. It's too much money. Well, myself and Nunzi, we've just set up a home laundry business, a home tailoring business, a bag selling business, and a small chicken rearing business in India for £900. Now, that's not a lot of money, is it? That's not Bill Gates kind of money. But that is tikkun olam that in 18 months' time is going to see four families with a small business, with more money coming in, and that loan's coming back so we can then use again for another four families to set up another four businesses. One of those businesses to set up cost £150. And it is going to change the lives of those people for the better. That's tikkun olam. That's making a difference. Now, I'm not saying it to blow my own trumpet, but what could you do here with £150? £250. You couldn't change someone's life for that. But in India, four families have just started their businesses. I got a picture yesterday of a tractor delivering this huge cage thing that was for ironing clothes as part of the tailoring. So these businesses are up and running. The chickens are arriving soon. I can't wait. I said, like, first pictures, I've got to see those chickens. So it can be done. There's another couple in this church who give me money every month, and they call it their India Hardship Fund, and I manage it for them, myself and Sunda. And since that started last year, we have seen three people having their lives changed. We've used that for medical bills, hospital bills, and doctor bills. For three people. Now, it's not a lot of money every month, but it builds up. Tikkun Olam. Three people's lives, three families' lives, now much better. Because, you know, there's no health service in India. You have to pay for everything. You've got to pay before you get into hospital. Not a lot of money every month. But what a difference to those three lives. Now, it's not just money as well. It's about time. Here's another one. I am going to blow my own trumpet this time. Okay? But it's a time thing. It's a good example, I think. I'm good at maths. Really good at maths. Got a degree in maths. Did you all know that? Yeah. BSc in mathematics. I also think I'm good at teaching, coaching, facilitating, instigating learning in others. It's not just about teaching. It's about getting people to learn themselves, teach themselves. I think I'm good at that. I've helped Lydia with her maths in the past. But I'm helping another little young girl at the moment. And she should have been sitting there, but she's not feeling very well. And she got 100% in her test on Thursday. Now, you know, you say Tikkun Olam is not supposed to be about gaining things. But Michelle messaged me, and then Reggie texted me later. And I just sat there, kind of... felt good. But that's an example of, because you might say, well, I don't have £250 to start a tailoring business in India. I don't have whatever. Yeah, but you've got time. You're all good at something. You've all got time. Tikkun Olam also involves our time. It's about giving up our time for helping others without wanting gain. Time to help others is making a difference. It might even just be a phone call. That might be your ministry. That might be your point. Phoning people. I know we can't say visit people at the moment, but if somebody's watching this next year and you're back visiting people again, visiting is Tikkun Olam. What can you do with your time to help others? If you don't want to think about what you can do with your money, think about your time. What can you do with your time? Where can I volunteer? Now, Tikkun Olam is not specifically just helping the Jewish nation and other Jews. And our work in India is not just helping Christians. So you might, well, there's no Christian organisations I want to help around about here. Well, there's food banks. There's... young kids' clubs, there's old people's clubs, there's collecting poppy money, there's book swaps. blowing your own trumpet now, Sean. only do that if you're standing up here. what can you do? What can you do in your spare time? How much spare time have you got? Well, I don't have a lot of spare time. You must have an hour a week. Or two, or three, or four. I know how much time I spend watching Fitbit on BT Sport. I know I've got loads of spare time. We'll not go down that road, EastEnders and Coronation Street and all that again. You don't look like the crowd for that. But what are you good at? What do you enjoy doing that can be utilised to help others? There's lots of people needing lots of help, not just financially, but time and assistance. it's not a time of year, but this is probably going to sound a bit patronising, but what a wife he needs a grass cut. Got a mower, haven't you? So I'm just, because Stuart is the closest guy to me. Or I'll get him to get a new one so you can mow the grass. You know, there's things we can do, guys and girls, isn't there? Shopping for people, yeah. Lots we can do. Even an hour a week can make a difference, even a phone call. We are on this earth to make a difference. That is our point. That is the plan and the purpose. That is why we are here, to make a difference. I could list numerous New Covenant scriptures that point to this, about giving, about being selfless, about being kind, loving others, about generosity, about compassion, about being salt and light. All those New Covenant scriptures pointing to make a difference, all backed up by this Jewish concept of Tikkun Olam. You may be asking, well, what's this got to do with mental health, Vic? Why are you telling us this? I'll tell you what, guys, it's making a difference to me. Thinking about Tikkun Olam, thinking about that lady with her new ironing equipment that is going to start making money for our family, thinking about the young lad that's going to start going door to door selling bags. All we had to buy him was a starting stock of bags and a bike. And he's off. I tell you what, it's making a difference. When we are making a difference in the lives of other human beings, when we are making their lives more bearable, or easier, or dare I say, even pleasurable, you are fulfilling the law, the will of God. You are fulfilling what God wants, and you're in His will, and your mind needs to be stayed in Him for that, and that brings peace. Thinking about others is the will of God. What did Jesus do when He was on the earth? Was He always thinking about Himself? He went out of His way. Needs must, He went through Samaria. Went about doing good. And you say, well, yeah, my purpose in life, the point is, I want to be more Christ-like. Well, make a difference. I just want to be worshipping God. Yeah, well, if you're worshipping God all the time, you're going to turn into such a person that you are going to make a difference. Yes. Jesus came to bring life and life in abundance. Poverty, disease, lack, hopelessness, fear, despair is not part of that abundance. Our purpose, the point, is to improve the lives of others. And to see that abundant life that Jesus came to bring with other people. It's not just for us. It's not just about us. If it's all about us, we will have a miserable existence. If it's all about climbing that career ladder and getting that extra few grand and doing those extra hours to get that overtime, that's not good for your mental health. Guys, I stand here as an example. 2 times I was off with stress living through that. That's not good mental health. But see, when you get this concept of Tikkun Olam and you're focusing on someone else about how you want to establish God's qualities in their life, that cannot do anything but lead to good mental health. Why? Because your mind has stayed on Him. You're focusing on the things of Him. You're doing His will. That is where good mental health comes from. Mind stayed on Him and doing His will. That's my recent experience. When looking to make a difference according to godly principles, you have to keep your mind stayed on Him. You have to look to Him for guidance. Holy Spirit. You see it all the time, isn't it? If somebody normally came to you and said, oh, Vic, can I get 900 quid to start some businesses in India? Alarm bells, wouldn't it? But no, complete peace with this. Why? Because I'm 100% certain it's part of God's will. It's Tikkun Olam. It's using some of the wealth that God has allowed me to create from the skills that He's given me to recirculate that wealth to start establishing God's quality in these people's lives. That's why I'm 100% peace with that. I still want to see the pictures, but I'm at 100% peace that they've not ripped me off. And there is a joy about making a difference. I'm going to try not to cry. But maybe you can see my pictures on my phone later. The pictures of these people just standing there. You know, getting their pictures taken, waiting for their chickens to arrive and their presses to arrive and their bites to arrive and all that. Just fills you with joy. Because their lives have been changed. Because someone has grasped the concept of Tikkun Olam and is making a difference. And we can all do it. You can all do it. I keep telling you, I'm not standing up here blowing my trumpet. But you know, in the overall scheme of things, and the amount of money that everybody's got, and what is 900 quid? Is it going to change your life here? Well, no, it changed four families' lives in India. We can all do it. None of us have any excuses, I don't think. Communal purpose is to make a difference. Your task is to find out how that relates to you. What is your specific? I firmly believe my specific is India. But it's communal, it's making a difference. We've all got that communal, we need to make a difference. What's your specific? Is it India? Is it Africa? Is it Lossie? Is it Cullen? Is it Port Gordon? Is it just that one little old lady down the road? What's your personal point? Why are you on this earth? Where are you going to make the difference? And it's not just big, huge things like lots of money, and it's not just ministry and preaching. It's not about having millions to spend. It's about the little things. We can do so much with relatively little money. What did Jesus value the most in these two examples? Did he value the tiny little offering from the old woman or the big offering from the rich man? The tiny one. Why? Because it was sacrificial and it was from the heart. And she wanted to give. For no other reason than wanting to give. The rich guy wanted the credit. Look how much I'm giving. Look how much I'm giving. And there's that attitude sometimes. Which is why I kind of struggle with myself whether I would tell you about what we were doing for Tikkun Olam. Because it kind of sounds like, look at me, look at me. But it's not. It's look at them. And look at him. Look at the Lord, who made me the best whiskey educator in the world to generate income for Tikkun Olam. All the glory goes to him. I mean, if you guys, Nancy knows me, you guys all know me. You know, years ago, if anyone had said to me, you're going to just send off 900 quid to these guys in India, yeah, a fat chance. That's the Lord. That's got to be the Lord. Grip it, is what nuns used to call me. Yeah, grip it. I've almost flicked around the other way now. I'm not saying nuns grip it, but I'm a lot more liberal with my money than I used to be. It was a sacrificial offering from the heart. See what she could do with a small offering. Guys, see what you can do with a small offering. Try to think of terms that we could use for Tikkun Olam in a New Covenant setting. Christian charity, maybe, something like that. Or just simply, loving others. That's what Tikkun Olam is, at bottom line. Loving others. Loving them enough to give up of your time, of your resources, of your money. Whatever, time, money, lots of money, little money, lots of time, little time. Whatever you've got this morning, I encourage you, I challenge you. Where can you make a difference? Probably should reword that question. Who? Because it's all about people, isn't it? It's all about people. Who is there out there that you can make a difference for this morning? Who can you Bless with your tikkun olam, with your Christian charity, with your love. Who can you make a difference for this morning? You may think you have little, you have nothing to give. Well, I tell you guys, if you're breathing, you've got something to give. And let me tell you, you can get a cracking meal in India for a quid. If that's all you can give, you can feed somebody for a day for a quid. What a difference that makes. You know, the roadside premises aren't the most salubrious, but you can get some good food off the road for a quid in India. An hour of your time may be what someone needs. A 15-minute phone call. How are you going to make a difference? How are you going to serve your purpose here on earth? What can you do to establish God's qualities on the earth today? Find that, fulfill it. That will lead to joy and peace. I'm going to do something I don't often do. I'm going to finish with a quote from Arsene Wenger. A lot of quizzing. Who knows who Arsene Wenger is? He's a football manager. A very successful football manager. I was listening to him on Desert Island Discs. I like a bit of Desert Island Discs on Radio 4. Listen to that this week. And the woman, I can't remember who does it now, she said, Arsene, what is your definition of success? He says, it is finding your purpose and then playing it out. That's good. I'll take that. Now, that was his definition for success. I tell you what, guys, that could be a definition for joy, peace, happiness. It is finding your purpose. Now, you can get your communal purpose in here. I've kind of given you it. You can get your individual purpose from the Holy Spirit. Find your purpose and then play it out. So hopefully I've given you an idea of your communal purpose today. Hope and pray that you can find your individual plan, your individual purpose, and then you can play it out. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen.